that I do it for the glory of God. Amen. So like Pastor said, I started school for ministry. I'm finishing up my first year, June 22nd. I'll be done with my first year. Amen. So I have two more years to go, but God is good. I like love that the kids kind of preached the sermon. It was, you guys make my job easy. So we are going to be speaking today. It's Pentecost Sunday. So my message is about Pentecost, but it's kind of going to mold into everyday life. Because I know sometimes people, it comes around Pentecost Sunday and they preach and I kind of zone out because I'm like, yes, I know, I have already received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. This message is not for me. Click, don't do that. You're not supposed to, but sometimes we do. We're like, I've heard this message every year. So I was like, God, I don't really, like, this is like what they expect. So he kind of changed it up, and I'm kind of excited about that. But let's start off in Acts 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So I've entitled this message, Wait, Receive, and Go. Amen? Wait. Our favorite word, right? When God says to wait. So we're going to backtrack a little when God tells us, God told them to wait, right, for the Holy Spirit. And God sometimes, he tells us to wait for different things in different seasons of our life. But let me just pull up Acts 1, 4 to 5. It says, on one occasion, while he was eating with the disciples, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And you also see this beforehand in Luke 24:49. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So those two scriptures you see where God says, wait. Right? He says, stay in Jerusalem. He didn't say, go off, go start preaching, you know, go this way or that way. He said to wait, right? And God sometimes tells us to wait. So we're going to go into those different areas of waiting. But there are different ways to wait. We've got inactively waiting, and we have proactively waiting. Inactively waiting. Acts 1:11. We're going to go. Sometimes God tells us to wait, or sometimes those who have kids, when you say, hold on, Mom, can I have this? Mom, hold on, I'm doing something. And they keep nagging you and nagging you. And you're just like, wait, wait, wait. And sometimes God tells us to wait. And sometimes we feel like when he tells us to wait, let's sit back, kick up our feet on the couch, eat some popcorn, watch some movies. That's inactively waiting. Right? In Acts 1, 9 to 11, it's when Jesus ascended and he's up, going up, he's gone, and they're just staring. And the angels are like, what are you looking for? Like, he's gone. You know, and sometimes we stand there and stare, we're like, all right, God, I'm waiting. That's not what he wants us to do. There are times, yes, to sit in silence, but even in that silence, you're doing something. You're not just, oh, I'm waiting on God. When the doctor gives you some results, your cholesterol's high, and you're, oh, I'm praying to God for him to change my cholesterol, but I'm still eating my ribs and my fried rice and my rice and beans and my steak. No. You also have to take a step in that. In the waiting process, can God heal you? Definitely. But can you continue to eat that way? No, you cannot. Proactively waiting, we see in Acts 1, 12 to 14, it says, they all joined together constantly in prayer along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers. This is the kind of waiting God asks of us. It says they're proactively, they were praying, they were worshiping, they were all together, right? They followed his command and they went, they stayed in Jerusalem. They got together and they prayed and they were worshiping. They knew they were waiting for something. So they're like, we're not just going to sit around and wait, like, and do nothing. We're going to wait with the presence of God, right? We're going to wait on him. We're going to wait to see his face. And sometimes we get, all right, I can't wait. I can't pray. I don't want to pray. I don't want to worship. I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm just waiting on God. Let me close myself in a room in the dark. And that's not what he's called us to do. He's called us to pray, to worship. And that's when he'll speak to us, right? Amen. The things that cause us not to wait: distractions, anxiety, outside voices, and self. Right? Sometimes in the midst of our waiting, we pray for 5 minutes. All right, that's done. I prayed about it last week. I don't have to pray about it again, or stuff like that. You're praying, your kid comes in, Mom, I'm hungry. The phone rings, and they have you on the phone for a half hour, and you're waiting. Now, it doesn't always mean that when you're waiting, you have to be constantly in prayer and worship, like 24/7. That's not what I'm saying. It's a heart thing. That means when you're going about your day, you know, all right, this is going wrong, this is going, but God, I praise you, I worship you while I'm waiting. I'm still going on with my life. I'm not stopping. I'm not just sitting down and doing nothing. I'm still going to praise you while I'm busy doing your work, God. Anxiety. Sometimes wait causes anxiety. You're like, all right, God, because you're putting trust in him. You're like, all right, God, I'm going to wait for you. And then you're kind of like, is anything going to happen? Is this really, especially if you have to wait for a long period of time, right? We have the Israelites, they traveled in the desert for 40 years because they just kept complaining, right? They were hungry, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty. And it caused their wait to be longer. We have Abraham and Sarah, where during their wait, where God told them that he would give them a son, and he's like, all right, this is taking too long. Let me just go sleep with somebody else and I'll have a baby this way. And look what happened to our world today because of their lack of obedience in the wait. Outside voices. You have to seek godly counsel while you're waiting for things. Be careful who you share with. Sometimes God has given you something, a vision or something, and we're excited and we're like telling this person, that person. There's too many outside voices, and sometimes God causes you not even to share, and he says, keep it to yourself and just bring it before me, because all those outside voices, well, I think you should do this, well, I should think you should do it that way, it's taking way too long, let's try a different direction. And God's like, I didn't tell you that. You're listening to the outside voices instead of the voice of God, right? And the number one cause is ourself. Our self brings on all those things. Our self, we're like, I can handle it. Like Daniele said, we kind of bring on to, oh, I could do this. All right, God, I understand. You said wait, but I think I could figure this out. And that's how we get in trouble, right? Like I brought up Abraham and Sarah. What happened? He had this son. It divided the nation, right? Because they couldn't wait on God because they thought, you know what, we've got a better way. We've got a different way. And sometimes that happens to us when we're young. You know, I've had issues with waiting, right? I was pregnant at 18 and got married shortly after because two wrongs obviously make a right. And 8 years later, I was divorced, all because I didn't wait. And I thought, oh, this person loves me. He's going to be the only one. So come on, girl. Sometimes you think the first guy that likes you, all right, this is it. He's the only one that's going to love me. I'm only beautiful to this person, and that's not what God has for you. And that's just the devil speaking in your ear. He causes us to wait, and it's for a reason. He's doing something while we're waiting. We're not just waiting for nothing. And God's just like, yeah, just wait there. And he leaves over there. No, he's doing something in the midst of the waiting. And sometimes it's hard to see, and sometimes we don't understand. But if we're praying and we're worshiping and we're praying and we're worshiping, it's not for nothing. That's why prayer and worship are so important, because while we're doing those things, he's doing something inside of us. He's bringing up those things that we thought were gone. He's bringing up those things that comes to the forefront of our mind, and he's like, you need to forgive this person. You need to stop saying those words. You need to, you know, break up with that boyfriend. You need to come together with your wife. You need to stay in that job because I told you to stay there. He's doing something in the midst of that worship and in that prayer where he's saying, you need to wait for me because I'm doing something in you. I can't move you to the next step because you're still stuck in the past, and in order for you to move forward, I need to fix some things on the inside. So in that prayer and in that worship, he's fixing you. He's working on you. He's flowing in you. And there will be a completed time when he's ready. But if you think that you can detour from the track, you're only making your track longer. Amen. You make your track longer. And sometimes we wait longer and we're like, God, why am I waiting so long? And he's like, I told you to wait, and you decided to go ahead and buy this house with this huge mortgage that you can't pay off, or this car that, you know, I never told you to get, and I told you to wait because I'm going to maybe give it to you, or with your children, and you're like, God, I can't take them, I can't stand them, I need them out of my house, and he's like, wait, wait. Sometimes he says kick them out, but sometimes he says wait. Amen. And how long we have to wait depends on how long it takes God with the process he's trying to do. It's funny because when you're reading in Acts, and I was reading it, and I got to this spot. It's Acts 1:28. And they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, however you'd like, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. I thought this was so odd because you see them, you know, Jesus is resurrected, and then he's ascended, and he told them to go to Jerusalem and wait. And then all of a sudden, they're waiting, they're praying, and then they stop to pick another disciple. And I was like, what? Why is that there? That makes no sense to me. And I'm like, they're praying, they're waiting on God, and now they're deciding to choose another disciple, because like we know, Judas had killed himself. He died after betraying Jesus. So now there was just 11 disciples, and at that moment they decided to cast lots between Barnabas and Matthias, and Matthias became the 12th disciple. And I was like, God, why did you stick that there? Nothing in the Bible is unimportant. Is that a word? Unimportant. Thanks. There's a reason that everything is in the place it's in, and I was like, all right, 12 disciples, right? So now we have 11, now we have 12. What does the number 12 represent, right? The number 12 represents completeness. It's completeness. Now, I'm like, all right, so it's complete. They have 12. Now, Matthias, if you know me, I love words and finding out what they mean, but I love names. I love meaning of names. Like, my daughter is named Hannah Grace for a reason. Hannah means grace. Like I said, I was 19 when I had her, and I was like, God, I need a double portion of your grace. That is why I named her that. I didn't just name her it by accident. So to me, when I speak to people, I'm like, name your child a good name, right? It's important. That's who they walk into, right? That's who they are. So I looked up the name Matthias, which, if you want, it could be Matthew. They're interchangeable, and that means gift of God. I don't know if you're catching this. So they had to stop, get a 12th disciple. His name happened to be Matthias, which means gifts of God. And right after this verse, you go to chapter 2, where the presence of God comes down and the Holy Spirit. Do you get it? They're praying. They're worshiping, praying, worshiping. There's only 11, so God's now got to complete a work. So he's gotten the 12. But the 12th person means gift of God. They were waiting for the gift of God that God had promised that would come. Do you get it? Matthias means gift of God, and the Holy Spirit is a gift of God. So when you go to the next chapter, chapter 2, they've received that gift. I'm telling you, start looking up names of the Bibles. The end of Ruth, when you look up all the names of the lineage, it literally tells a story when you're looking up the names. Don't take any word for granted in the Bible. Every number, every word, every name, it has a meaning. God is always working in the waiting. He does not just leave us. He's there moving. He was moving. I'm sure while they were praying, God still speaks to us when we're waiting. I feel like people think, oh, I'm waiting, but I'm not hearing from God. Then there might be times where you don't. There are times when I'm like, all right, God, where are you? But he will speak. And I believe in that waiting time, God must have said, hey, you know what? Let's get our 12th disciple because you're down one. And everywhere you look, right, there's 12 tribes of Israel. There's 12 gates into the heaven. There's 12 stones on the ephod. There's 12 stones in heaven. There's 12. That number comes up a lot in the Bible when you look into it. And it means it's completed. My work's completed. I'm ready to go because it's done. Yes. Amen. So we've waited. And we waited and we waited, depending on how long we've had to wait. And then we receive, right? We receive. In order to receive, you must have faith that something's coming. In order to receive, you must have faith that something's coming, right? It says right there, we walk by faith, not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5:7. I'm not just waiting for nothing and I have to have faith that, you know what, God said to wait. There's a reason, because obviously he's going to do something. There's a reason for the wait. We're getting ready to receive. And in order to receive, we have to have faith that something is coming. And in Acts 2, that's the day of Pentecost. That's what they were waiting for. That's what was coming, right? The day of Pentecost came and they were all together, and suddenly a cloud, like the blowing of violent wind, came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting, right? That's what they were waiting for. And that's what they were receiving. And they had faith that they were going to receive because they believed what Jesus said. That's so important. They believed what Jesus said. You can have your Bible. You can walk around with it. You can read it back to front. I have one of my brothers knows every word in the Bible. He doesn't believe it. But he could quote scripture back at you faster than you could quote it to him, but he doesn't believe what it says. There's a difference when your heart turns from just knowing and believing the word of God. And when you start to believe those promises that God has for you, when you start to walk on the word and say, this is my life, God. This is what I believe. This is your word. This is your truth. When you start to believe, then that's when you're able to receive, because your heart is open, right? Your heart is open. So there are reasons why we don't receive. They receive the power of the Holy Spirit, sometimes the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and, you know, usually Pentecost Sunday, we ask, oh, who hasn't received? And those raise their hands, and they come up, and sometimes, like, all right, I left, and I feel nothing. Nothing changed, nothing happened. So there are some reasons. Sometimes there's doubt, right? There's lack of faith. Like I said, believing is so important. Believing that even... Hear me out. Believing that even if you left here not saying anything, you're still walking and say, God, I claim it. Instead of believing, of walking out and saying, you know what, nothing happened. That's such a joke. They're just making up their own words. Even when you leave here, you say, God, I'll worship you until it comes. God, I'll praise you until it comes, because I'm still waiting for it, but I am ready to receive. And when you're ready to give it to me, I'm here. But there is doubt. In Matthew 13:58, this is the one time I read something, and it said, he did not do any miracles because of their lack of faith. If you read back, this is when Jesus, he was on the mountain, and he was saying parables and speaking to the people, and then he had left and gone back to Nazareth, right? And he goes back, and that's his hometown, so obviously everybody knows him, right? Everybody knows what he's done. And he gets back there, and people are like, yeah, I don't believe, like, who you are, who you say you are. I don't understand. And how can you do this? Like we get in the world, right? They're like, oh, who are you? Who do you think you are? You're the church, and you think you're all great, and you're not. All that stuff. So he goes back to the town, and he's like, you know what? because of that lack of faith, he didn't do any miracles. There's a component on our end in order to receive. We need to have faith in order to receive. It's not just, oh, receive. Obviously, there's a reason you're up there. It's because, God, I have faith. You send me your word. I believe your word is true, so I'm ready to receive. And fear. They think we're crazy, I'm telling you. They think we're crazy, so fear. They're like, I don't want to be that crazy person up there jumping around and hollering and speaking some crazy language all loud. They're like, I don't want to do that. You know, it's funny, that word fear. I remember way back, I was 14. It was a few days after my 14th birthday, and we had an all-night prayer meeting here. And when I say all night, it was 6 p.m. to 10 a.m. It wasn't like 6 to 10. It was 6 p.m. to 10 a.m. And the whole youth group was here. There was no playing. Our youth director back then was like, yeah, get here. I'm waiting for you guys. He would text us, where are you guys? So the youth was here. The young adults were here. The adults, the children, we were all here. And there'd be, you know, every hour they would have a different thing that we would pray for. So I remember this one hour, the pastor, he was like, okay. Whoever wants to receive the gift of speaking in tongues of the Holy Spirit. And I was already up here praying, and I heard him, but I was just like, no, thank you. Not today, not for me. Although I believed, I just didn't want to look crazy, and I was like, oh, you know, I think maybe I'm too young too. You know, we get that, oh, they're too young. They're too little. They're still kids. No. My nieces and nephews were all baptized in the Holy Spirit at the age of 8 and 9 years old, all speaking in tongues. And on that day, I'm up there and I'm praying, and all of a sudden I realize, what the heck am I saying? I'm literally just sitting there, and all of a sudden I start speaking in tongues. So I always said that was my 14th birthday gift from God. He gave me the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes we're afraid, and there's the fear that dwells in us, and we're like, oh, but if I go up there and I don't receive it, is everybody going to look at me and be like, oh, shake you until you have, no, that's not what goes on, right? God tells us, you know, we don't walk in fear. Don't walk in fear, right? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So whenever that fear comes, you have to say, God, that's not from you, right? That's not from God. But when we receive the gift, we receive boldness, authority, and growth. Boldness, authority, and growth. We receive a boldness because right after the Spirit of God came, they began speaking in tongues. You know, these people outside, oh, they're drunk, they're crazy. And they weren't, right? That is when Peter, he stood up and he started to preach to them and explain what was going on, right? He started to preach and explain what was going on. So that brings us to our go. Acts 2:38 says, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In this one verse, we see Peter walking in obedience. Because what did Jesus say when he went up? In Matthew 28:19-20, he said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So we see Peter walking in obedience, he had a boldness. You know, the Holy Spirit filled him. And right away, these people start talking, and he's like, no, 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 that's not what's going on here. And he explains it, and then he says, repent. You know, we all need to be saved. We all need Jesus. You can have this too. God loves you too. And he walked into the Matthew 28:19-20 and walked in obedience and said, be baptized. And then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In our go, we also have to go in obedience, right? We waited, we received. And sometimes when we receive that power, receive that boldness, and we're going this way. And God's like, that's not where I told you to go. I told you to go this way. Because we're all excited, right? When you get baptized, you feel this power. Oh, I can cast out demons, and I could speak to that person, they'll be healed. But you have to remember what ministry God has called you to. He didn't just say nonchalantly just go off on everybody. No, he has a plan. He has a purpose for the exact people that you are meant to reach. God knows. I'm meant to reach somebody that Pastor Campbell's not meant to reach, and Danielle's meant to reach somebody that I'm not meant to reach. We all have a set of people that God has prepared for us to reach, so we have to listen to his word. We have to go in obedience. Every member of the body has a ministry. Don't get mad at me. Every member, from the youngest to the oldest, you can't say my knees hurt. You can't say my hip hurts. You can't say I'm too young. You can't say I'm too old. God has put you on this planet for a purpose. These disciples didn't just stop their ministry once they reached 65. No, they went on till death. They went on until God said, that's it. They didn't sit down in a church and say, oh, I'm just going to sit here. No, he has called you to move, because without you moving, the church will not go forward. Without you moving, these people out there are just going to go to hell because you're not opening up your mouth. You're not doing the ministry. You're not going to the elderly home where they're on their last breath and saying Jesus loves you before they die. You're not going to the schools and saying there is hope in Jesus before they commit suicide. You're not going to your neighbor and mowing their lawn and saying, you know what? I'm doing this because Jesus loves me and he loves you too. If you don't go, who is going to go out there? I remember singing this song when I was 13, and it said, Jesus, send me. And I remember singing it, and like I said, God does not have an age limit. It was, you know, something brought up in my house. We knew that God could use us even at 12, at 6. At 6, I was cleaning the toilets of the church. We were doing ministry. We were cleaning. We were vacuuming. It was the bishop family coming in every Saturday to clean, every Wednesday to put out the garbage. And I was tired of it. And I didn't understand. I'm like, why do we have to do everything at church? There are other people. But if the other people don't stand up, guess what? The other people are still stuck at that work when God has called them to another work. But they can't move forward because the baton is not being passed, so they're stuck. But then there's people that they're supposed to reach, and they can't reach them because those people sitting down won't stand up. You need to stand up. Like Danielle said, I love how God moves. God, they stood up, right? They stood up as an army. They said, God, I don't know if I'm going to die today. I don't know what's going to go on, but I'll stand up, and I'll go when you say to go, and I'll move when you say to move. But we let fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, right? We let complacency. We let laziness. Ecclesiastes 10:18 says, through laziness, the rafters sag. Because of idle hands, the house leaks. If everybody's lazy, who's going to do the work? Who's going to keep the house together? And we're not talking about this building. We're talking about our town, our community. We don't go because this world today is crazy, and we're like, I don't want to go out there. I see what's going on. I hear about ISIS. I hear about these Christians, you know, being beheaded. I hear about that, and I don't want that to be me. We hear about the attacks at the school, and they ask them, do you believe in God? And they're shot in the head. I don't want that. But God says, go. And now is the time to go. Parents, you need to talk to your kids. I literally have conversations with my daughter, and I say, listen, if a shooter comes to your school and they ask you to believe, do you believe in God? I say, yes. You say yes. I don't care what everybody else is saying. You say yes. Because if you deny him, he will deny you before his father. You say yes. Because that moment, they might shoot you, but you will be in eternity, and I will love you forever, and I will wait until I get there with you. Parents, we need to wake up. You think, oh, they're just a child. Oh, they don't know. But when they reach that age of accountability, where they know right from wrong, where they know what gossip is, when they know what disobedience is, then they are able to walk in the Lord. And we need to stop coddling. We need to let go and say, this is the truth. This is a lie. So you either walk in truth or you walk in lie. You either walk with God or you walk with the devil. There is no gray line. There is no gray line, and so many Christians today were walking on a gray line. We're walking in that gray line, and Jesus is coming back. And you're going to be caught sitting here because you're walking on that gray line. God says, choose this day who you will serve. Every morning, I have to make a choice. God, am I going to follow you? Or devil, am I going to follow you? There's no, oh, I'm just going to wake up and have my day. That's not how it works. That is not how it works. The Bible doesn't say that. Wake up and eat a bowl of Cheerios and hope the day goes fine. That's not. It says choose this day who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve God? Are you going to get out there and talk to people? Are you going to clean a toilet in the church? Are you going to give your tithes? Are you going to be on the worship team? Are you going to work with the youth? What are you going to do? There is no just sitting down. Are you going to pray and intercede for people? What are you doing? What are you doing? If you know the Bible, then you are held accountable. If you know the word and you let people just walk by and you just hold it and you're selfish, when you get to heaven, you're held accountable. But what about that person that you just let walk by and that, you know, they were discussing something and you just kept your mouth quiet when it was your time to speak and stand up for God. Not that God needs standing up for, but sometimes he says, set them straight, right? They have to know because they don't know. And they believe in a truth that is so distorted. It's not truth. It's all lies. So we walk in fear. We don't want to be blown up. We don't want our heads chopped off. We don't want to be shot. These disciples walked in the same fear back then that we walk in today. The Bible says nothing is new under the sun. It's repeating, right? It's repeating. So that's when you know that God is near. Jesus' return is near. And how is he going to find you? It says in Matthew 9:37, harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. You know, I set up, I'll be in the back later, but a community outreach because God, I love reaching out to people. It's just my thing to do. I love being able to speak to God about things, and God just put a burden in my heart. I'm like, what are we doing for our community? We were not called to just sit inside of church and, oh, yes, God did this for me today, and yes, God did this every week, and not see somebody new. When was the last time you invited somebody to church? Even if they said no. Even that, I tell my daughter that even if they say no, you did your work. You just invite them. Even if they say no, you've done your work. You've asked them, hey, do you want to come? When was the last time you invited somebody to church? Or even out to coffee. Maybe some people don't like the church atmosphere. Go out to coffee with them, right? You don't know the words that God's going to give you, right? We said we receive a boldness. When we receive the Holy Spirit, he gives us words of wisdom. He gives us words of knowledge. It's not us speaking. He knows exactly what that person needs. So we have to walk once we receive that Spirit. We have to walk in it. When we're going, we're not going by ourselves. We're walking with our partner. We're walking with our friend. And that's why God says, don't fear, because I'm with you, right? He says, I'm with you always, even till the end. So when we walk out, we're not walking out alone. When we go, we're not going alone. These disciples didn't go alone. You know, God was with them. Yes, they went two by two or whatever out into the countries. But even if they went by themselves, we have missionaries today. They go by themselves, right? They're not always with somebody, but they are with somebody. They're with the greatest person they can ever be with, their protector, their defender, their financial counselor, the one who gives them a place to lay their head. They're with Jesus because the Holy Spirit is with them. And we need to wake up. This is a wake-up call. This wait, receive, go is, it's almost like rinse, wash, and repeat, right? How many times do I do it, God? Until it's done, until I come back, that's how many times you do it. You wait, you receive, then you go. All right, God, I feel you're calling me to something else. Let me wait again. Let me receive what you're telling me. Now let me go. Then I'm done with that, God. I'm going to wait. There is no end until your head is down, laid, falling asleep, as they call it, right? Because we'll be resurrected with Jesus. But until that time comes, your job is not done. And I feel like people think, oh, my job is done. I can't do it anymore. And if I hurt your feelings, I'm sorry. But it's what the Bible says. I don't see anybody just saying, oh, I'm retiring, right? Co-Pastor Campbell's retiring, but she's not really retiring. She's retiring from her earthly job, but she's still going on in ministry, right? For everything, there's a season, right? There's all different seasons in our life. And there's no season just to sit around for 20 years and not do anything. Because even while we're waiting, God has us doing something. Even while I was waiting, God had me in children's ministry. God had me singing backup. God had me cleaning the toilets. Even while I was waiting, I knew that wasn't what I was called for, but I knew I was going to walk in obedience. I was still going to serve in different ways because I wasn't going to inactively wait. I was going to proactively wait, because when you're proactively waiting, he's building you. He's saying, you can use that for the ministry I've called you to, and you can use that, and that pain right there, you're going to touch that woman there, and that pain right there, you're going to touch that child there. When you came from an 8-year-old pregnant, you're going to touch those youth that are pregnant. When you came from a divorce, you could speak to the divorced mom. When you came from abuse, you could speak to the abused people. He uses every part of doing that wait for your ministry. It's not for nothing. He uses it for something. That depression that you're battling, when you overcome, he said, you could speak to those people and say there's hope. If you've been a cutter, if you tried to commit suicide, if you've been laid off and lived on the streets, God says there's a reason, because I've called you to reach those people like you. I've called you to reach those people that Catherine can't reach because she hasn't dealt with that. I've called you to reach those drug addicts. I've called you to reach those prostitutes. I've called you to reach those people that are CEOs of businesses. Where I can't go, you can go. Where I can't go, you can go. So we need to stand up and say, God, I will go. If not them, God, send me. We are his hands and his feet. We are his hands and his feet. And if they're not moving, this world is literally just going to hell, and it's slipping. And he's literally saying, save them. He doesn't need us. He could totally do it on his own, but we didn't get saved just to sit down. That's not what the point was. We got saved, yes, so we can live in heaven with him, but then it's to reach. It's to reach others and say, come with me. I love you too much. Your family members, are you praying for them? You can't say, oh, I'm too mad at them, because you really want them to spend an eternity in hell just because you're mad at them. No. Even them. God says to reach. Wait, receive, and go. And the waiting could be hard. Whatever it is you're waiting for, maybe it's an answer. Maybe you're waiting for a healing. Maybe you're waiting for God just to speak, because you're in that desert place and you're like, God, I need you to speak. But wait faithfully. There's a difference. You have to wait faithfully and say, God, no longer will I try to do it my way during the wait. I'm going to wait patiently before you. I'm going to put my hope in you. I'm going to put my trust in you in this wait. I don't care how long it takes until I get that job, God. I'm going to wait until you give me that job that you promised me. God, I don't care how long it takes for me to get healed. I'm going to wait and remember and praise you during that healing. Praise you in advance, as Pastor says, because I know it's coming because your word says it's coming. I'm going to wait, God, until that child comes and is born, God, because I've heard your promises. I'm going to wait, oh God, until I get that house, until I have more food on my table. I'm going to wait, God, because I believe in your promises. And then, God, when I receive, I'm going to thank you. You, God, when I receive that thing that I've been waiting for, oh God, my mouth won't be quiet about it, because when they received, the glory pointed back to God, because when they were speaking in tongues, the people said, hey, they're praising God, they're glorifying God in my language, because the praise always needs to go back to God. When we receive, our praise needs to go to God. You don't just say, oh yeah, I received a financial blessing, I'm not going to tell anybody. No, you say, God did it for me. God got me this far, like Pastor Marcio said. He's brought me this far. He has done this for me. God has healed me. God has delivered me. God has set me free. God has set me unbound. That's what he wants us to do, to give him the praise back. It's not meant for us to keep it in. Because you don't understand, when you tell somebody your testimony, the chains that are breaking in their life, if God did it for them, then he can do it for me. And then they receive, because now they have faith. Because you just planted, you said, God, you did it for this person. God, you did it for Abraham. You did it for Isaac, oh God. You did it for Jacob. You did it for Noah, oh God. You said, did it for Pastor. You did it for Marilyn, oh God. You did it for them. And I believe, I have faith. You're planting faith within those people. Don't hold it back once you received it. And when you go, you're going in that too. Because God will use your testimony wherever you're going. So if we can all just stand. If we can just stand, and I know it might have been a lot to take in, but God is moving in this church. He's moving in this country, in this generation. He is calling people to go. And some of you, he's telling to go, and you're stuck in fear. And some of you, he's telling to wait, and you're like, God, but I love this person. Or God, this job gives me so much money. Or God, I don't know, I need to hold on to this child. And God's saying, just wait. Just now go. When we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, we receive such a power, authority. It's like you're supercharged. First, you're a Christian. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you're like a supercharged Christian. Right? He gives you all of these things. So first, I want the people, if you're in a season of waiting, and God has called you to wait, and maybe you've taken a wrong turn on that way, and you tried to do it your own way, and God's kind of taking you back to the start. If he called you to wait, I want you to step forward. If he's called you to a waiting season, you're like, God, which way am I supposed to go? God, what am I supposed to do? I want you to step forward. Am I supposed to move forward in this job, God? Am I supposed to move forward in this relationship, God? Everybody's in a different season. You're either in wait, you're either in receive, or you're in go. There is not, I'm none of the above. So if you're waiting, I want you to come up. And next, if you're in the receiving, and you have just received something from God, you have just received something you've been waiting for, an answer to prayer, if God has just proved himself right once again, I want you to get up. We thank him for when we've received it. So I need you to thank him for what it is that he has done for you. And then we have people in that go season. God has called you out. He said, your waiting season is over. Your waiting season is over. And you've received. And now I'm calling you to go. Maybe it's to go in a ministry. Maybe it's to go to school for something. Maybe it's to just speak to your family. But he's called you to go. You're either in the wait, you're in the receive, or you're in the go. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. There's a song, it's called While I'm Waiting. You might have heard of it. It was the song Fireproof. And it said, I will praise you while I'm waiting. I will serve you while I'm waiting. And if you're here and you want to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, you want that empowerment, and you've been praying for it, and you want it, and you're like, you know what? What is this boldness? I need this. What is this authority? What is this tongues that they speak about? What is this? I want you to step forward too. And if you're already up here and you want that, just stay up here. We're going to pray with you. And just praise him. You praise him in the waiting. You praise him in the receiving. And you praise him while you're going. There's never a ceasing. A prayer and a praise. Lord God, we worship you.
Atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. The atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow in this place, fill our hearts with your love, your light surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love, your love surrounds us. The atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. The atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow in this place, fill our hearts with your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love. encounter your love surrounds us. Spirit, fall fresh on us. Changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. A miracle can happen now. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. A miracle can happen now. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love. Your love us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love. Your love surround us. Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love. miracle can happen now. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love, your love. To encounter your love, your love surrounds us. Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love, your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came. To encounter your love surrounds us. Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come, your will be done. In heaven, Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Hear us in with your love, your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love, your love surrounds us.
Praise the Lord. His love surrounds us even now. Father, we thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross, and you rose him on the third day with all power in his hands, and he has given the church that power. And Father, we thank you today, Lord, that your Spirit is teaching and guiding and leading us, your body, that it might bring you glory and honor. And Lord, we just ask, Lord, that your Spirit continue, Lord, to be with the men, bring them home safely, Lord. Give them traveling mercies. Dispatch your angels round about them. And we thank you, Lord, for your sweet presence in this house today. For ministering to us through your Spirit and through your word. We ask God, put strength back into Catherine, Lord. Pour the virtue back in, Lord. Give her strength. Continue to bless, Lord, the word as it grows in her. Now, Lord, we ask your blessing upon your people. We, your people, God, ask your blessings. Bless our going out, Lord. Bless our coming in. Bless the rising up and the lying down. Bless the works of our hand, O God. And the fruit of your labor, O God. And Lord, Before we close, Lord, we want to lift up this country. Lift up overseas, London, this vicious attacks that has come upon these. Lord, we come against that spirit of murder that's murdering even the innocent. And Lord, we come against that spirit because you said we have power to bind and to loose. We bind that spirit that's running rampant in the world today, that's killing innocent people, especially those that are Christians. It's attacking against them, Lord. You said in your word, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Cause those weapons to come to naught. Cause their plans to just fall apart. Let it not come together. Let every scheme and plot, Lord, be brought to disaster. Let it not come together. And so God, we're asking, Lord, give more boldness to the people of God. Let your word go forth. Let the gospel spread throughout this world. We'll continue to give you the praise. Now, Lord, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable, Lord, in your sight. Our Lord and our Redeemer. Will you say this with me? May the Lord watch between me and thee, while we're absent one from another. If I don't see you again, I will meet you in the air. God bless you. Amen. Remember, this coming Wednesday, we're continuously teaching about the miracles of Jesus. We teach and we pray right after for individuals to receive your miracle. So come on out on Wednesday and receive your miracle from the Lord. God bless you. Greet one another.